I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you all for coming.
We didn't have a forum, so I don't
have any. Have anybody here for public comment? Don't see anybody, so we'll move on from that to the new business. Three Cottage Drive unmerge request is the first thing on our agenda. Is you want to come up and or talk from there, whatever you're comfortable with.
I'm fine here.
Okay.
I guess the only question is, are you on track to get somebody to do the survey?
Yeah, we had, you guys have said that gave me a year last year. We got someone on the phone, not a problem. Oh, yeah. 2 hours on the phone with him. And he says, he goes, we're busy now. Once the snow's gone, we'll get on it. And that was the end of it.
Best laid plans of mice and men.
And then everything fell apart anyway. So
everything fell apart. And once they started doing it, surveying again, finally, we literally just got somebody about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I can't get the name here. And he's been out a couple of times, but it's just kind of process. Valley Associates, Kimmel Valley.
I heard of him.
He came up last weekend and walked the property, and he's supposed to be doing it.
So I guess my only question is 2 months enough, or do you want to go for a little longer just to give yourself some cushion in case?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do November, that would be fine, because once we get past November, they're not going to survey anyway.
Right.
If it doesn't get done by November, I'm probably going to snap at some point.
Okay, I will make a motion that we approve the request for a waiver from Mr. Ron Davis and move the required deadline to November 30th, 2020.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the table. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. 30th of November is your new date.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Always like the easy ones.
Okay, next on the new business is the Morrison Road speeding concerns. Somebody here to speak to that?
I am.
Okay. Floor is yours, sir.
Michael Bean, Morrison Road. I don't even want to be, I lived here 36 years. I have a farm, I raise beef cattle, registered cattle, keep lambs. Designed and built bridges all over New England, New York, so I'm gone a lot of time. The traffic in the last year has just been too much. Like, I can't do it anymore. They paved Morrison Road a year ago. I had asked Johnny about putting some speed bumps in. I never got an answer back. I've called the police so many times that I'm sure they got a picture of me on the dartboard in the coffee room. I'm not trying to be a jerk at all. I lived there a long time. It's one of the first 30 homes granted by King George II. Sorry that it's so close to the road. I have a couple thousand feet of frontage on both sides of the road. I'm typically up at 3, feeding cows and lambs and headed to Connecticut, New York. Oftentimes, I don't get home till 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 o'clock at night. I have border collies. They're inside all day. They have a right to be let out and feed cows with me and feed lambs with me. The last year has just been incredible with the traffic. It's not just the neighbors. It's a main route for people to cut through to get to 127 or 132. I've called the cops and called the cops, and I know they go by. I see them drive by. But it just isn't letting up. I mean, when they were paving the road, I questioned the width. I don't say nothing. I've been in construction for 35 years. But I asked if I could pay to have some speed bumps put in. I didn't get an answer. I find it really hard to comprehend why a 20-foot-wide freeway leads to a 12-foot-wide dirt road with a red-listed bridge. It just doesn't end. I mean, the day of the hurricane, I brought my cows home. I tried to bring them across the road the next morning at 10 o'clock. It's mid-morning, everybody's gone to work. I've been there a long time. When I have to go up to the road and see if I can cross the road with my cows, there's something wrong. Well, I cross the road with half my cows, and here comes a silver Toyota right down the road, 60 miles an hour between the cows. Never even hits the brakes, and I kick the side of her car hoping she'd call him. It's every day. It's every day. I left the job early today, come home and have some work done on my trailer. I've been down at the garage working for 2 hours. Easily 15 cars go by. And it isn't 40. It's 60 and 70. They don't even care. I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm sick of calling Steve and calling the San Marino cops. You know, I call him up. It's Mike Bean again. I'm sure you can't stand me. But is there any chance I can get an officer to pull radar here for 15 minutes? You know, I built 7 bridges for this town that would have cost you like $5 million and $1 million engineering. They cost you $600,000. I did them all for nothing because I live here and I pay taxes here and I give a shit about Salmonton.
Now, I remember that.
Take that for a grain of salt, but I'm telling you the truth. That bridge on Johnson Road I did for $108,000. The concrete deck cost me $85,000. Yep. To demo it, put in guardrail, pave it, and put in footings. If you think I made 10 cents over there, you're mistaken. I try to help the town every way I can. Johnny had a guardrail project on Johnson Road. CWS was in the high 30s. I said, look, I'll see if I can help you out. And I pulled that off and saved you 10 grand. I'm not asking for nothing. I've probably paid 150 grand in taxes since I've been here. I don't want to live there no more. My dogs don't want to live there no more, and my cows don't want to live there anymore, and I don't even want to be here tonight.
Yeah. First off, Mike, let me thank you for all you've done for the town. I know I've been on the board when you put the one on Johnson Road in, and thank you very much for that.
You're the best bridge builder in the state.
Johnny is right.
MIT should hire you to teach engineering students.
Maybe the dumbest one, Tom.
Huh?
Maybe the dumbest one.
No.
You know, I was on Johnson Road. I'm just going to tell you. The deal, when I looked at that, I was doing Plummer Hill Road for you guys. And Tom and Nickerson had asked me if I'd look at Johnson Road. And the consensus of the crowd was specifically Karen and Steve Ova that it's a historic piece of work with those stone abutments. That used to be the center of town. There's stone foundations in there, like an old violin factory and things like that that I'm not even 100% sure about. So I looked at that hard to see if there's a way we could save the stone abutments. And that's the reason it's still red-listed. But you ain't talking about 100 grand. That bridge, if you ask me to do that bridge today, it's $1 million. Okay, I think it is. The way we looked at that is we had a 36-foot bridge. To put all that deck and weight on those two stone abutments and put that vertical pressure on them stones, yeah, they're good. They're stacked nice. I think they'll work fine. We put 2 footers behind it, another 10 feet, with approach slabs, and looked at pulling the weight of the deck off the stone and getting it on those footers. I went the extra mile on that to try to save that for you, and that's what the proposal and contract said. I'm thinking you're looking to save what you have. There's oil trucks going over that. There's low beds going over that. There's delivery trucks going over that.
Fire trucks.
Fire trucks. So is the town trucks.
But trash trucks.
Repeatedly, what I'm trying to get at, you don't have 50 cars going over that anymore every day. Now you have 500 cars going over that every day. It's your bridge. And someday it's going to go to hell, and you're going to go, hey, Beanie. Well, it was 10 or 12 years ago, and you still know it's red-listed because of stone abutments. And like I said previously, I don't get how a 19 and 20-foot wide Morrison Road freeway leads to a 12-foot wide dirt road with a red-listed bridge. The traffic's just too much. And the paving's done, and it's Monday morning quarterback. Like I said, I don't want to be here, and I surely don't want to say anything. And every time I call those people, it's the last, I take my phone, I'm like, they don't want to listen to me. Finally, I'm like, you know, I call because here's where I am. A lot of times I'll leave the job Fridays and try to get home early Friday afternoon, mow my lawn, pick the garden. Well, from 3 to 5:30, it's totally out of control. And finally, I call, and most times I get a recording. Sometimes I get the lady. I had a lot of it Friday afternoon. I called and spoke to the girl. She said, an officer will call you back. So I kept my phone on me. Nobody called me back. And I know they're busy, and I'm not here to stick a stick up Steve's ass. He's got shit to do. We gotta do something. I mean, I've tried to do a lot for the town. Can you do a little bit for me? I'm not here to start trouble, but I'm like, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I mentioned to the town administrator who called me about attending tonight. They make a portable speedboat. I get it that it's fall and snow plowing's coming. But if I can buy these removable speed bumps in 6-foot pieces that get anchored with a threaded insert, put them out in the spring, leave them, pull them back out in October. Sure, you're going to get some bitches about it. Well, then let's give Steve a bonus and see if we can get a cop to sit over there a little bit more and do something. You know, he put up a sign. Steve had come over and addressed it, and he's always been good to me. And he said, we're going to try to deal with him with this electric sign. Well, he put a $5,000 sign on a $12 post. The kid stole it. I'm pretty sure we know who, but did it slow him down? Yeah, it did. It did for about a week and a half, the time that it was up. It did slow him down. I have a few that are the same ones every day. And I called with the latest license plate Friday, and I have it here tonight. It's every afternoon. They don't just go by, they step on it when they go by. And it seems like it's the same ones, the kid in the silver truck, the girl up the street with the brown SUV, and then it's the constant cut-through traffic. You know, there's a young officer that's been out a few times and pulled radar there. He's really sincere, and I always thank him. But he comes at 2 o'clock. There's nobody going by at 2. You know, he's like, being here, sat here for half hour, nobody went by. Well, really, nobody did go by. When people get out of work at 3:34, 4:35, this is 93. This is Morrison Road. Like I said, I don't want to be here. But I need some help somehow. That's why I came here tonight. I can't do it anymore. And if somebody hits one of my dogs, well, he's going to be pretty. He's going to be coming to my house with some handcuffs, because I don't care. I don't care. I've walked out and asked people politely to slow down, but I have dogs and animals. A lot of kids walk. Women walk. People push their kids down to look at the cows. It's residential. It's America, man. I work all over New England. I get it. 93's out there. Go 100. I do. But it's a residential area where people live, walk, and relax. It's 30. No one does 30. I do 30. No one does 30. I bought more speed limit signs and put them up in front of the farm. It doesn't happen. So, I don't know what else to do, but I'd be a little concerned about Turkey Bridge besides Mike Bean.
Johnny, Steve, is there anything we can do to help him?
He's absolutely right, first of all. Yeah, the traffic has picked up there. Unfortunately, it is one of the few straight, you know, nice roads in town like that, and it absolutely is a problem. And you know, Mike, please don't hesitate to call, because it's good to keep reminding us, because, you know, I've been talking to the guys about it, and, you know, they do try to get out there, you know, when they can, because we know it's a problem. It is completely, he is correct, 100%. And we definitely do, you know, try to get out there when we can. I know I've been doing it more lately coming through. He's right. You know, it's just we're definitely trying, you know, and unfortunately, yeah, that's where our sign was. And unfortunately, there's not enough traffic on there to keep the sign from getting stolen. It's better on the other roads where there's constant people coming through.
I got four cameras set up, but I just missed. The sign is just out of the camera lens.
And I can't even get it in the grant I had to get that. They don't offer anymore for those. So. But no, I mean, like I said, whenever he calls, I do remind my guys to get out there as often as they can. You know, we have, you know, other areas of town, you know, as well, but we want to try to spread it out and do what we can with them. So,
I haven't seen anybody out there in a while. And like I said, it's not 2 in the afternoon. It's that pump from work traffic and morning traffic and Saturday mornings is out of control. And, you know, I lock my dogs up a lot. I live by myself and I work my ass off. I built 220 bridges and it's almost time to not build anymore. And it's too bad that I'm actually thinking about not living there anymore. I bought the farm twice. I got divorced in 06. Michelle and I just separated. I bought it again. And, I'm ready to just go. I'm ready to just say, you know what? Because I don't want to live here no more, neither my dogs, and I'm not sure that I do.
We don't want you to move out of town. Not because of the good work you do, but just because we like you. So.
Anybody notice the covered bridge?
Yeah. I like it.
Sam's got a covered bridge.
Yeah.
He built a covered bridge for his cows.
34 by 14. We took all the logs off the land and sawed them on my sawmill. They're in a nail and it's all post and beam.
I've gone up that way since you had spoken to me a while back, and you're right. The traffic there, they do speed quite a bit, and they ignore the signs that are there. And no, you do have farm animals, and I personally don't have a problem with the consideration of putting something, you know, now until October, speed bump or a couple of them.
I don't even bug it now. We're going to snow soon, and I get it. We should have just paved a couple. They put them everywhere. They're only a 3-inch rise. They don't bother plows at all. I offered to pay for the pavement, but they do make a removable one, and they're priced from $800 to $2,000.
Johnny, what about these removable ones?
And they do appreciate the stuff you did. But the only problem I have with speed bumps on a road like that is there's no natural things to slow anybody down. Like the only place they have speed bumps is on Bayshore, which is kind of like almost a 90-degree turn. So you have to slow down for that anyway. And this speed bump kind of helps keep you slowed down in between. This road is more straight. And it's kind of one of those things. I would love to figure out a way to slow the people down.
Put a sign up with it. I'll buy them.
Well, no, it's not the issue. It's just that they are going to come through there faster than 30. And if we put them up and they hit those, you know, I don't know if we can find a speed bump that's rated for 25 or 30 miles an hour. You know, that. Even
so well, speed bumps are a 3-inch rise. That's an inch and a half.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
Well, when you start hitting them at a faster
sign right beside it, speed bump.
But when you hit them at a faster rate of speed,
well, then they should slow down.
I know they should.
Slow down. Well, next time you go up that road, look at your speedometer. No, none of you are doing 30.
I do. I'm actually a slow boat. But
well, if they hit them at a faster rate of speed, that's their problem because the speed limit is 30.
It is and it isn't. I don't. See, that's even the legalities of it.
It's like 3 or 4 signs that say 30 miles an hour. What are you talking about? It is and it isn't.
Want
to explain that?
Well, when you put a man-made obstacle in the way that you. It's kind of. I'm trying to look at the right words. You can't just knowingly put something out. Even though they could cause an accident, you can't just knowingly say, all right, I'm going to fix these guys, and I'm going to put this up here, and they're going to slow down, or they're going to hit it. You can't do that. It's not legal if you're a law-abiding citizen or entity or whatever you want to be.
If you were going 30, the speed bump wouldn't even be a problem.
What's that?
If you were going 30, the speed bump wouldn't even
if
be a problem.
If you were going 30.
Well, that's what the speed limit is,
right?
Like most residential areas. Because somebody hits it at 50, mm-hmm. It's our problem? I don't think so. They'll hit it once, and the next time they'll go slower. Like I said, put a sign with it.
Chief Dexter will be over scraping them off of the road.
I don't know what the legalities are, but I would have to agree with Johnny, like, to some degree, that speed bumps like Bayshore, it's a narrow road. They're not that fast. But you hit that thing doing 50, 60 miles an hour, like Blaine claims they're going to come through there, they're going to lose control of the car, and they're going to be out in this field. I don't necessarily know if speed bumps are the fix-all. You know, speed bumps aren't designed for a main thoroughfare. They're designed for access into parking lots, exiting parking lots. That's what speed bumps are designed to do.
I see them all over New England on residential roads.
Sounds like what we need is what they have over in Germany. They've got a camera and a radar, and what it does is when you speed, it takes your picture, and it's got a picture of the front of the car with the license plate, picture of the driver, and the speed on it, and it automatically sends a ticket to them.
Yeah, I guess what Mike is talking about, I think we have two different versions of a speed bump. I know he said 3-inch. We're not talking a ramp speed bump you're talking about. You're talking about like they have up by the middle school in Franklin.
Go on.
They're those small little bumps, and when you hit them, it's like hitting the side.
There's millions of them.
Thing on the highway.
Yeah.
Millions of them online. Most of them are 3-inch Revia. That's not.
Those might at least get your attention if you're do something like a rumble strip.
I mean, we could do that as far as like a rumble strip.
They do those like some toll booths to slow people down. Like I think. The one on 95 in Hampton, they have those.
Yeah.
The rumble strips
off
the road slow people down as they come into that area.
I think that would not affect somebody's control of their vehicle. Like the one they put on Bayshore, I think would affect the control of their vehicle.
If you were going 30, it wouldn't be a problem.
I agree with you.
3 inches is, Paul?
Yeah, I agree with you.
If they're going 30, they're going to hit it once and go, look, they put speed bumps out here, and there's a sign, speed bump. Enough is enough. I can keep calling until I'm crazy in the head.
No, it's not. I would love to keep them down on the speed. I really would. I don't like them speeding any more than anybody else because it's part of my job is keeping people safe.
Well, I have to live there.
So is that a reasonable solution? You had just a few minutes.
You can look into the rumble strip.
Rumble strip, yeah.
And I have been across the one Chief talked about in Franklin.
Because they hit that a couple of times on that road.
Well, I don't know that it.
They don't want to fly right slow down.
But it could be.
They get their attention.
No, but it get their attention. Maybe it'll slow down after they get their teeth hard.
They fly right through a rumble strip.
It could be used in conjunction for something else.
I'm pretty sure all these speed bumps that you see for sale have been approved by a number of MUTC agencies and things like that. They don't just throw these things out there to kill people with cars. They use them all over the country.
But I think they're designed per speed limit of a access. So I don't know the legality. Johnny's more
I've done a little research on speed bumps. Maybe you should make a comment. But I'm not trying to be a wise guy.
I think
3 inches is pretty much the norm on speed bumps. And if you go on the speed limit, that's not a big deal. I mean, it's the only solution I can see now. Unless we get somebody to come in and pave them, let's pave a couple. I offered to pay for them.
Well, removing them is not a big deal for the winter months.
I just have had enough. I mean, I've documented for over a year every time I've called the cops at the advice of my attorney. And I need this to stop. I need this to stop. I have to live there. I'm there. And I've worked my ass off at that farm to live there. I don't know if you didn't notice, but I don't stop, and I haven't stopped for 35 years.
Yeah, I've noticed.
That house was one of the first original 30 grants from King George II in 1738. It's been there for a minute. There's a lot of pride there, a lot of hard work there. And it's not mine, I'm using it. just like Dick Morrison used it, just like his father used it, and his father used it, and Cy Sweeney used it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little piece of Samerton that means something. I don't give a shit. I can just go.
Johnny, well, can you try something and then reevaluate how that's working?
We can try something. I'll look into the speed bumps a little bit more, but I'm pretty sure, as it stands, I wouldn't recommend speed bumps. But I'll look into something. I mean, that's what I was saying about the rumble strips. I don't think they'll work on their own. I agree with Mike about the fact that they would just go right through them. But they might.
If you put a 3-inch speed bump with a sign, speed bump, you're only going to hit it once. And they're all going to know it's there. It's got a sign. Just go to the speed limit. If I hit a speed bump at 30, you want me to buy one? We can set it up and try it.
That's not a problem.
And we can drive over it and see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as far as the legality is concerned, we could check with NHMA and find out what the legal ramifications for the speed bump would be.
Right.
So that we would know for certain what it is. So if there's any, if there may not be, if there is, then we'll know about it. That's
well,
the best way.
One or two, it's like every other car. It's not, it's typical to count 15 cars in an hour and a half in the afternoon. I'm not living like that. I don't have to live like that.
Yeah.
I will, in my guide, I'll definitely tell them when they're able to do it within that time frame to spend some time down there.
You know, if you sat there a couple of days like you have, all of a sudden it's really different for a week or two. When you put the sign up, I was skating for 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, this is back to the way it used to be before they paved the road. I knew it would happen. I'm not stupid. I've been in construction for a minute. I'm airport jobs, bridges all over New England, New York. The day you were paving it, I went to you and said, can I pay to put some speed bumps in here? And nope. I'll ask the select. That's what you told me. I'm not trying to be a dink, but
no,
it's going on long enough, and I can't
do anything. And then I told you afterwards, I thought about it, and I'm like, I can't even.
Well, you know what? If you live there, and I lived on a dirt road, you might consider it. It's just not the same anymore. That's why I'm sitting here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the long term is, you put a lot more cars over Turkey Bridge than you should be. You can call me. I'll build you a new one.
So you want to work together on it and see if you can find something else?
Sorry, what's that? Yeah.
Work together on it and see if you can find something else?
Yeah, I'll definitely look into the speed bumps. And like John said, we'll check into the legalities and everything else. And
I'll check in with NHMA and find out what the legalities would be.
Pretty sure they're approved in any residential area. I'm pretty sure they've gone through all this highway crap. That's why they come up with a 3-inch rise on them.
Yeah.
It's not just a bunch of clowns on eBay selling speed bumps. They've already gone through all that. Just like anything else you buy for the road, it's already been through highway approved.
Yep.
Well, I need to get an answer because I don't want to come here again and do this. I just don't. I just want to carry on and live. I don't think it's too much to ask. I bought the farm when I was 25 years old, 60. I don't live there no more.
Okay, so we'll check into that and get back with you.
Place is that really nice.
We'll check into that and get back with you, Mike.
Appreciate it.
Where the cows are? I don't always see them when I go by.
They're either way up in that corner pasture or way down under the trees by the cattle crossing sign.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're. You know what? Some of those cows are $40,000. They're the top bloodlines of polled Herefords in the country. I've got four of them that are probably worth between 30 and 40 grand. They're not $1,000 milk cows. A lot of breeding and effort into that. You know, I take pride in everything I do. Just like the syrupping, we do the old way with buckets and wood fired, and I emptied with my oxen for 14 years. And I'm not a big shot. When I come home, I'm just Mike Bean. I just want to be left alone. And it's not the same place anymore. It's just not. And like I said, my border collies mean a lot to me. I've had four of them. And if somebody hits those two dogs, I'm going to hit them a whole lot harder. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Mike. And I'll get back.
Is Johnny got your phone number?
Yeah.
I'm sure he has it.
Yeah.
He needs to get home.
Okay, moving on in new business, highway department quote. Johnny.
Yeah, you guys have the quote, and it's for our truck 5, the red 550.
Is that the one you had the problem with?
Yeah, it got, went off the road this winter.
Yeah, slid in on the ice.
Yeah. And it was icy. Came back and hit the truck. Yeah. So the quote's for a new door, which I already had him get because he found it. So it's not a brand new door, it's a new used door that will fit the truck. And to be painted, the whole nine, it's all right there in the quote. So I'm just looking for authorization to move on, move ahead with that.
And this is with Hanser?
Hanser.
Yeah.
I have a question. Why did we not claim this on our insurance?
Because I just, it's not a super expensive quote. I was just trying to keep from putting more things, just like you would on your own vehicle, or trying not to throw more things on the insurance.
And we have $1,000
deductible. And we have $1,000 deductible. So we're paying a lot of it in the deductible anyway.
Okay, and the total is $3,379.22. Jim, you got any questions?
Well, so now I'm thinking about the insurance. I mean,
well, it's just like one of those things because between all the departments and so many different things happening, I just figured why add one more thing to the insurance when it's not that expensive of a fix, and you're paying $1,000 from the beginning. So just to keep our premiums from having a shot and going up.
Trish, have we had any other claims? Do you know of?
Well, I would have said no. I just found out about this one. Oh, I mean, I'm not sure. I think that, I mean, if it was like maybe around a $1,500 quote, maybe then it would be a consideration to make a judgment call. But I mean, this is almost $3,400. I feel like it would be reasonable to claim it.
Yeah, I guess the question at this point is, you know, it was over the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I understand your logic. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff on my own vehicles where I just don't want to mess with the carrier, but at some point we're paying insurance for them to cover
right
when we have some damage. So
what's the $1,000?
Yeah,
and the cost to repair it is what,
about $3,400?
It's a no-brainer. You file an insurance claim.
Yeah,
it's not your job. I love you, Johnny, but it's not your job to worry about premiums and stuff like that in other departments. It's our job. And when you get, I mean, if that was me right now with my vehicle.
Yeah, I can go ahead and do it through
What you said doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I think with my vehicle, I take the, put the claim in for the insurance and pay it out and get it fixed properly. I mean,
it's going to be fixed properly.
Well, I don't mean to be argumentative, but it's not your job to look out for premiums. That's our job. And, you know, those kind of repairs and costs, you know, it's not your decision. You know? And it's not your job to look out for other departments. I don't agree with what you suggest, although I, you know, I appreciate your efforts, and I think that I would vote no on the council motion to do that. I would vote no.
So they've already got the door, right?
Yeah, they've already got the door.
But we already own a door.
Right.
So it's really the other $1,600 worth of work that were...
What's left?
Yeah.
The $1,600 worth of work in the $1,000 deductible.
Well, yeah.
So either way you want to look at it. So I can still run it through the insurance if you guys prefer.
Yeah, I mean, to me that makes the most sense. Yeah, and they're going to have to deal with the fact that it's several months after, mm-hmm. and you know, we've already got the door purchased. So, however they want to,
yeah.
And maybe they won't want to deal with it.
Who purchases that?
What's that?
You purchased it?
I told Hanser Auto to go ahead and get the door because we found it in Florida. They're not all over the place. And he was going down to Florida, and
how much
is that? Pretty good price for the door. So I told him to get it. So
that was $1,800, which is under Johnny's purchase authority. So.
Well, I guess my point is that you're looking at an insurance claim, and the door should be included in that claim.
Well, and we don't know that it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Why don't you find out?
That's where we're headed.
No, we weren't headed that way to begin with.
Right, but that's what we're talking about right now is...
That's where I was headed.
Going to the insurance company and putting the whole thing in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Should have done that first.
We're not disagreeing.
The rear view mirror cost way more than the door did.
The mirrors are very expensive.
Yeah. $1,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I would recommend we go ahead and submit what we've got back through the insurance company and see what they come back with. Now, the truck's still serviceable. It's just,
yeah, we're still using it.
Yeah, and it's not sitting over in their shop getting tied up, right?
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Not the plan you planned on, but...
But that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trish, that makes sense?
Yeah, I'll just have to get with Johnny about, or he'll have to write up a statement and dates and time so we can submit it to the insurance company.
I'll take care of it tomorrow.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, we done with that one? We will move on to the transfer station quote. You going to handle that one, or is
no? I think that was Nate's. I talked to him about it last week. He got an estimate for the repair on the loader. When he took it in, they found a couple other things that pushed it about $250 over his threshold. So he's just bringing it back now because initially it was inside his $2,500. Now it's about $2,700 with the additional work that they identified. So he is submitting it to get approval, $2,764 or something.
Yeah,
$2,764.
$79.
Yeah.
Here I am.
So it was a case, you know, they had identified some work. Once they got into it and tore it open, they found some additional seals and filters and things that needed to get replaced. Otherwise, we're kind of throwing good money after bad by not fixing those other problems. So, like I said, pushed him up a couple $100 over his threshold. So he is coming to us now.
Okay. We need a motion for this, I think, don't we?
Yep, I was waiting for Tom.
Oh,
give a chance to read through it.
Yeah, I'm off that.
Okay. So I would make a motion that we authorize transfer station manager to spend $2,764.79 with Lakes Region Truck Service for the repair of the backhoe loader. Funds to come from line... 4324.630 equipment repair.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion passes. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And moving on, we have a transfer station new hire.
Nate, you want to say anything about your new person?
It's pretty straightforward stuff. It's a Saturday position. I am going to potentially have her come in tomorrow. She would see the finance officer in the morning to do the paperwork around 9 o'clock, and then come for Friday, Thursday and Friday for 6 hours or so each day, so that she's not thrown into a chaotic Saturday, and then it would be Saturdays from there on out, except for potentially if Nate was to ever take a day off, and might she be asked to...
You've got Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Resubmit in 90 days for further disapproval.
So, she seems interested, and she seems to say that a more long-term position is good. She does like to travel here and there, so she would take, you know, a Saturday here and there off, which is, I understand. It's.
Does she seem to you like she can handle the pressure of Saturdays?
There's only one way to find that out, John.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, she had some experience working with some of the equipment when we had talked to her, and I think it's smart that you're going to bring her in to train her on some of the slower days, Nate, and sort of ease her in.
Right. I think they come from a hard-working family. The work ethic is there, certainly. And I sense that she's a bright person. And,
okay.
You know, and things run differently at the transfer station a little bit. As we move on, we learn and adapt and improvise and overcome, so things may be easier. It also depends on the residents and the day, but it's not 2.5 months ago, transfer station.
No,
it's
you guys
it's evolved.
You've done a great job of managing the chaos with just two of you.
Well, it was a good learning experience.
Okay. With that being said, I would make a motion that we approve the personal action form for Bethany Levine as a new hire, part-time new hire for transfer station, labor grade 6, step 1, starting this Thursday?
Correct, please.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. The PAF is approved. And we will sign that and put it back in Trisha's office tonight.
It'll be on Peg's desk for tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. So now we have one more thing I'd like to go over.
Oh, yeah. The infamous one more thing.
The one more thing, the ghost from Christmas past. So, we were in the process of buying a 40-foot storage container for the rec department. The town of Salmon made... Yep. The town of Salmon made a payment of $900, and I do not have a copy of any of the information on that, except for I know that that payment went out, and that I had paid the bill, and then Peg paid the bill. Well, due to COVID reasons and the fact that they all live down in Florida, this has taken way longer than it should have, and then lo and behold, here came July 1st. The storage container, I met with Johnny, last Monday, at the storage container to have discussion about how we would get it up to the road to where we could get it trucked. They have cleaned the storage container out, so it is ready. The next step of this, the last part of this, is ready to move forward. Now my question is, where do these funds come from? Because the 4130-690, I believe that was general government, has, like, that was a miscellaneous line that we had used because you would put money aside for this last fiscal year. So I would have a payment due of $900 once we've removed the container, of $900 and trucking to get it down to the rec, down to the town park.
We'll have to encumber those funds from last year. I believe the auditors will have to do that when they come in at this point.
Okay.
We can still pay it. They'll just have to move it around on their end.
Okay. And so do I need to submit something for this, or do I just say, Trish, this is what's happening? How is that going to work?
Well, I would imagine there's going to be a final invoice, right?
Correct.
Yeah, well, we'll have to talk to Peg as to how that needs to look exactly, like the way it's worded, like invoice, final invoice for services, you know, whatever, but we'll have to just see what she recommends on how it should be phrased.
Okay. Okay. So that was my last thing.
Yeah. And Nate, with the copy of the agreement that you did with the owners,
mm-hmm.
that obligates us to the money, so that's what Peg will be able to use to encumber that remaining money in the we made an obligation, even though it didn't come full circle by the end of the fiscal year. So that's what allows us to say, hey, that money we said we were going to spend, we have a legal obligation to spend it, so don't take it away yet.
You're encumbered.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the bill of sale right now, and it's it's in order. It's just late.
Yeah, so that's Peg will just need a copy of that so we can submit this paperwork.
Okay. Perfect. So do you guys have anything else for me?
Nope, I don't
any
think
questions
so.
Questions or
perfect. I don't think so, Nate.
Well, I appreciate your time as usual, and we'll move on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, have a good evening, guys.
Yeah, and we will move on. The next item on our new business agenda is the bid award for Tax Map 3 Lot 25.
Okay, we had the bid opening on Friday, and the bids are all right there for you guys to look at. I did have some lingering questions about some back taxes and the way it was taken for deed, but it's been cleared up because it was turned into a municipal property that's tax exempt. There aren't any taxes owed at this point in time.
Okay, are you asking if there's any back taxes owed?
No, he was answering a question that one of the bidders had asked about any additional back taxes, and the answer is because the town owned it, we don't owe taxes on anything.
No back taxes. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So all we need to do is to look at the bids and choose the winner.
We had four, which surprised me.
Yeah.
It's three more than I thought we might get.
Yeah.
A high bid was $6,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's past my mind. Another bit. Trish, I suspect that you agree with accepting the 6,500 bid by the selectman.
She's on vacation,
Jerry. No, she might not have heard. Trish, you agree with the bid for 6,500 being the one to accept?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What are you doing, sunbathing in fact? Your vacation?
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to, Tom.
Earth to Trish, Earth to Trish.
Okay. Sounds like we're all in agreement.
So I'd make a motion that we accept the bid for MAP 25 Lot 3 in the amount of $6,500 from Justin Rasmussen and authorize the town administrator to finalize the transaction and transfer the property.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Rasmussen now owns a new piece of property.
All right. I'll work that out with him and getting that all transferred over and with the assessing and stuff.
And can you also make sure that we return the deposits from the other bidders quickly just so they don't worry about the...
They are in the tax collector's office right now.
Okay, great.
In the state.
So before we leave this topic, I wanted to get your sense on the distribution of that funding. I would like to propose that at least some of that go to the Conservation Commission,
sure,
since it was conservation land that they offered up because it wasn't doing them any good. And so that part of the proceeds could go into the Conservation Commission's fund to help offset the cost of some of their programs.
Can you define a portion?
All of it.
Nina says all of it.
I would say barring any cost of advertising or any of that to offset.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't incur a lot of cost in the sale process. I'd be willing to go up to $6,000 of the proceeds. And that will help reduce the amount that have to get appropriated for their programs in the future.
You want to put that in the
1,500 or 6,000?
Well,
500 would
cover the point is offset any of the costs that we incurred for this.
Because the deed's got to be registered and stuff like that. So
more the advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
So I'd make a hold on. Got to get it right. I'll just do it this way. I'll make a motion that the board authorize $6,000 from the proceeds of the sale of MAP 25, Lot 3, MAP 3, Lot 25. Yeah, thank you.
Don't show somebody else.
Somebody else just found their house guest.
Might be mine.
That $6,000 of the proceeds from the sale of MAP 3, Lot 25, be allocated to the Conservation Commission.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. $6,000 will be given to Conservation Commission. Okay. Chris, was Tim supposed to be here to brief us on the election? Or are you on the line, Tim?
Tim was supposed to be there. I didn't know that he wasn't going to be.
No, he didn't.
Okay, well, why don't we skip over that and give
Johnny?
No, actually, Johnny.
Johnny gave us out his
I just want to make a comment that, Johnny, I'll commend you for doing this. This is kind of some of the breakdown I think we've been talking about in the future, which is helpful to understand exactly, you know, where money is going and for what projects. So on this piece, I think you did a good job.
Thank you. Okay.
Now, I have to say you got a lot more of the grading work done. There's a lot more roads represented on here than I expected when you were describing the amount of material and how much it was going to take to bring it up. So that's and I've heard nothing but good reviews from the folks on those roads or driving those roads about the improvements since you got out there.
I've been really happy with it so far.
So obvious. I can attest, having done it. Man, Woodrow Parker.
Yeah. The police and fire department are happy with your efforts.
Yeah. That's what matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. Well, she was. It's Tim's. It was Tim's presentation about.
He may have seen the agenda and thought it was quite long. So.
Yeah, he may just be planning to show up at some point. Not so we can get into the.
Yeah, we're going to. We'll hold that off for a little while and see if he shows up. And we'll move on to the building committee presentation.
Okay. You know what I'll do? I'll move to this chair. Okay.
So, Tom, you've got the big report, and then this is
the
presentation that Nina's going to go through.
Yeah.
The talking's going to be, I really do need to sit at the table, so I'll just sit our way. Yeah, I've got a mask on with the chair.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I am Nina Gardner. I think you know that. And I was named by a bunch of guys chair of the committee. Right. And I'd like to say the committee is all here with the exception of Chuck Flanders, who was not able to be here. And so I do want to just mention who we have with us tonight. I was named chair. Jim Dick is the selectman representative. Brendan Morrison is a public member. We had Ken Carlton, who was a town employee representative. We had Steve Cobb, who is the vice chair. And I guess the other person I did mention was Chuck Flanders. So we are the committee that you appointed. And I'd like to tell you that in terms of deliverables, we are here, in some senses, under budget, demand you to spend a bit of money. And it's not a lot of money that we're going to ask you to spend. This was a wonderful group of people to work with, and I want to say that at the beginning of this process. I think we were all committed to the project. This will be our 24th gathering. So, among other things, we have put an enormous amount of citizen time into this project. We were appointed by the board. We were supposed to report, as you may recall, by November 30th of 2019. It was kind of a hard deadline to meet since we didn't have our first meeting until October 17th. It was a little difficult in getting us set up. So the deadline was subsequently extended to September 30th of 2020 in order to provide you with a comprehensive review of the issues and options. The committee considered all options on the table. We tried to not exclude anything from our thought process. Mentioned who the board members are. And the other thing I should mention is that Bonnet, Page, and Stone participated with us throughout the process and charged us nothing for their time and effort, which is, I hope you can recognize, significant. They will make money out of the project, of course, if they get to do the work. And clearly, we would recommend if we ever get to that moment that we should consider that. The Building Construction Committee approach involved the following steps. Reviewing what BPS had proposed last time through the 2019 meeting project that was about $4.999 million that did not pass. We looked at that information. We looked at previous studies and analyzed the existing town space and building needs. We solicited input from residents about their priorities and concerns for the town building. I want you to know that some people think we just ought to tear some of it down and build some replica in plastic. But beside that, we developed and assessed additional options that address the various needs identified for the town, town office, the police department, and the fire and rescue department. In addition to meetings, we tried and hosted two open house sessions for the town office life safety building complex. Sadly, did not get much attendance, but we still offered them. A resident survey soliciting opinions and feedback on the potential projects was completed in January of 2020. We had about 104 responses, which is not a huge number, but it's 104. Space needs and requirements were developed using the following data. Previous reports, employee surveys, tours and observations on our own of the town office space and police department, and discussions with the police chief and the town administrator. BPS provided rough order of magnitude estimates for a wide variety of design options. We're going to focus on two, but the report has more than six. So if somebody says in the community, you know, you only brought up one, that's right. You can only bring them one at that point. But this committee looked at way more than one as possibilities to present to you. The options include both renovation and modification of existing town office as well as potential construction of a new standalone building. BPS options allowed for even comparison between different locations, whether we do something up on the space behind the town office hall or whether you use space here. There are significant safety and security issues that exist at the police station and need to be addressed before employees or the public are hurt. I think, though, that is part of the hardest challenge that we all will have in this, is trying to convey that to a public that doesn't have much interaction with the police, thank God, and yet they don't appreciate that building and how it was built. It was built as better space than the front room of the town hall. Saying a whole lot, but 25 or 30 years ago, that was a whole lot. The town office has numerous issues with ADA compliance, as well as quality of life issues that impact both employees and the public. There are a bunch of deficiencies in this building that need to be addressed, and so that becomes part of what we're trying to address as well. While we're doing stuff, let's not leave some of this behind for another day. Delays in addressing both the police department and town office issues only increase the cost of a potential fix and put people at greater risk of harm. A solution that focuses on the existing town office building can address all of the identified issues in the most cost-effective way as possible. So what we're saying is our recommendation is going to be to focus on this building. We recommend that you plan on putting forward a warrant article for March of 2021. To approve a bond for renovation slash construction. We are very well aware, and I'm going to say that further down, but we're very well aware of where we are in time, in the economy, and in the issues that face us. But in order to even give this project a fighting chance, you've got to give the time now to be able to reach out in ways that are going to be challenging to the public so they have a chance to comment about it, we have a chance to hear about it, hear their comments. You have a chance to hear them. And then you're going to need to assess as you get closer to the time you have to make a decision on the warrant. But if you don't do some things now, you lose the option.
We need to educate the public.
And you need to educate yourself because you will hear from the public. And I think it's important to hear from the public. You know, some people may think this is okay. Some people are going to say, don't do anything. I mean, we saw the survey results. They're in the packet for you to read. So going on, I've diverged from the report. I knew I wasn't supposed to do this. But we recommend that there are two options in order of our preference. The first one, option one, is 3,250 square foot addition to the existing town office to include co-location of the police department and a slight addition to the town office space in addressing the deficiencies in this building. Option 3B is a standalone police department building behind the old town hall, a renovation and addition of a fire suppression system to the existing town office. So there would be work done here as well, but it's a more expensive option because you've got two locations to work on. Something we don't say here, and I think it's worth noting, is you add another facility to maintain. You add another facility to heat, to clean, to paint, to clean bathrooms. So for us, the option that is most preferable is option one, which is to add to this building, co-locate the police department with the town offices. It's sort of going back to the old fire department, co-located with the town offices. We go west, probably. We go back, potentially. We go east, potentially. And the way we handle some parking is that we do a bit of parking up above on the field under the trees, up there.
By the pond.
By the pond, back up there. Sorry, got to get the answer. To get employee parking only up there so that this leaves the front of the building for public parking, because we're going to lose some space here with the police department and the south. Okay, the ultimately, we need you to approve tonight an expenditure of $7,000 for the Town Building Improvement and Planning Capital Reserve Fund to create detailed designs for the two options that you can review that will show us how the space is going to fit. So the police department can look at the configuration and comments and help work with the architect. And we have something to show the public that is more refined and can get the cost even closer than they are now. Ultimately, the Board of Selectmen are going to make the decision what option they would consider going forward with, or no option, saying it's the wrong time. We urge you not to delay the decision to move forward if you can, because you have $130,000 of bond money available from the retirement of the highway garage, which is available to be applied toward this project. Doing that keeps the tax rate stable, and it really reduces the new dollar impact of the project on the townspeople. If for any reason you need to delay the project, we urge you to put that $130,000 in a capital reserve fund. So again, you've still got a tax base that is stable, and you have access to that money going forward. I would like to remind you that $130,000 does not save that much on an individual taxpayer's tax bill. I know there are people who would say anything you can save is important, but that $130,000 spread out over this community's tax base really doesn't do that much. It does very little, actually. We urge you not to delay the bond unless it's absolutely necessary due to the economic situation. We also want to make sure that you recognize that the cost of construction continues to rise every year. And so we have calculated, based upon the information we have, that the cost of delay will be greater than that $130,000 for every year that you don't work on this project. And so we are offering to continue the work of the Building Construction Committee as necessary to assist you in developing detailed plans and engaging the public. And the last sheet is that it shows you the cost of the project. The base, and unlike last year's project, we tell you not only the base project cost, but the bonding cost, because that is part of, you know, that was the piece that wasn't really out there last time. So we tell you that this time. The base cost of our preferred option, single-story addition, along with some renovation, is $2,172,764. You can see with the 10-year bond, it's 54 cents added onto the tax rate. But because you have the carry-forward money of the 130, that goes down to 30 cents. The second option, the standalone PD, along with a little bit of renovation of the town office and fire suppression, is 64 cents and 41 cents on the tax rate. The 20-year bond cost is, the first one is $3,074,534. You can see the tax rate impact of that over the cost of the bond. And likewise, for the standalone building, it's $3,679,515. My understanding is the other project was close to $7 million with its bonding cost. So I hope you can appreciate this is, at its worst moments,
that 20-year bond is the worst. It's probably the best in terms of cost. But you can get it down to the 10-year bond, which is a whole lot less burden. Or we calculate also the 15-year bond. So I've talked enough. Everybody is here from the committee. We went to Center Harbor. We think that is kind of the example of a police department that is in a town similar to ours. Chief Hanker took me 5 years ago now. I was younger. And we all went to see, I mean, it's a small department. They did a renovation for a little bit more than $1 million up there, and they have a facility that is secure and safe and operational. As I've said earlier, I think the hardest piece is trying to explain to the folks in the community that today is not today anymore. I mean, today is not yesterday. The community we live in has different issues. We've heard about traffic. There's different kinds of crime. There are different kinds of issues. Our police force is working in a facility that is not adequate. It is not safe. It is not secure. Even the work we're doing over with the fire department now doesn't address their needs. And all it will take is one very violent, and I can think of a couple, that in a moment of rage, in a moment of whatever, alcohol or drugs or just psychotic issues, pound on those walls and their hands go through. And I want to thank Ken Carlton in particular, who kept saying to us, safety and security, because that is key to what this community needs to do here. It needs to be safe and secure for the people that work here. But it also, I mean, people can come in and shoot up places. There's no ballistic protection there. I think it was Sutton. Wasn't it Sutton? Is that what I told you it was? A community that had an unhappy taxpayer go in and shoot up their town hall.
Newbury.
Today is actually the 23rd anniversary of the tragedy in Colebrook.
Right.
Where somebody came and shot up the town hall. Right. Two state troopers.
And he had visited me first. He had been to see me the week before in my office.
Really?
And I solved his problem. I got him his refund. So he didn't shoot me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
my understanding that if somebody came into that entryway in the police department, you got the bulletproof glass up here.
Good for you, huh?
But you got wallboard underneath it.
Yes, Ken.
That is right.
But not the holding cell, not the outside walls.
Right. Yes, John.
I have one question. Did you in what you reviewed? Did you review putting the Sally Port in that direction toward the pond? Was that looked at all?
You know, maybe I should answer. Go ahead, you do it.
Well, so when you look at what's in the package in the report, we had BPS just do basic amounts of space without getting it. So that what Nita talked about, the $7,000 to do the detailed plans, that would be the time when we sat down with an architect and said, all right, here's what we want to put in, and have the conversation about should the Sally Port be here, should it be out the front, should it be out that side.
Okay. You know.
As Judge Judy would say, that was a yes or no answer.
But
that's all I wanted to know. Was it or wasn't it? Yes or no.
I understand, this is all concept right now.
It's concept, thank you.
Now put it on the paper.
Yeah.
Go from concept to design.
And clearly, as soon as we've got an architect, through BPS, and he's done police stations. He just did Belmont. So we're hoping to God we can just maybe scale it down a bit, but take some of that and bring some of that design here, or the pieces from up in Sutter Harbor. I mean, a lot of this is relatively generic, but the site is not generic. And so we said they could go east, west, or out back, you know, with this project, depending upon what works with the topography, and hopefully it works. You know, what BBS seems to think it does.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Well, the answer is no.
No.
So no.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
But then again, we didn't look at any direction.
Yeah.
That's all I needed.
Okay.
As you have said, you know, aside from the safety issue that we have right now, every month or every year we wait, the cost just goes starts to skyrocket.
Right.
So, Paul?
So if I may ask you a question. So everybody's heard me say this before. I do and I don't have a dog in this race.
I don't, because no matter what you do, I get rid of my tenants.
Correct.
Well, okay. Maybe.
Maybe. You may get the new one.
Please get me out of that building.
You may have tenants, but they wouldn't be the police department.
But you may get tenants. Depending on how the space works, you may get tenants. There are still...
Well, then that doesn't really address our issues. It addresses the police issues, but not the fire department's issues.
Your issues were addressed,
well, no.
I believe.
No, they're not.
Some of them were.
Well, yeah.
Some of them were.
So I guess my question is, what are you, when you're saying there could be tenants in that building, what are you envisioning that people, who's going to move into that building?
We're not sure how the space works yet.
Right.
Yeah, so let's be, if
right.
the decision was to go with option 3B, which is a new police department standalone building, and just renovate this one, this doesn't address the issues with recreation and welfare.
Right. Those are
those are things that could potentially be considered to have part of that space that's in the current police department.
Or not. I mean,
if the option one was chosen, which is the renovation of this building, that includes the addition of space to the town office
right.
portion, which would take care of that problem.
Right. But since we haven't drawn it yet, you've got to see if it fits on the ground.
So,
going west is a hard,
Yeah, no, I get it. So I guess just to that point, I would have to say that commingling departments, it makes more sense to commingle police and fire together. It makes absolutely no sense to mingle rec, because you have kids walking back and forth and across that front gate.
No, it would just be for the...
I realize that. So I just want to make it clear that those commingling, I don't think, would fit appropriately with those departments.
But I want to say something to you, Chief, and you have to hear what I have to say, and that is this project doesn't want to get mixed up with full-time firemen with bunks. And I'm saying that personally.
Oh, no, I
okay, because I don't want to battle that for this.
No, I understand.
Okay? And you need to hear that from me.
Right.
Okay? I'm very clearly spoken on that issue.
But we also have to do this, and I've said this very clearly, and I've said it to you a number of times.
Right. Dana.
We can't just put lipstick on that pig. We have to be looking to the future. And every one of you know how well I like to plan. My planning abilities, I plan out 40 years from now.
Right.
If we're not looking over the horizon and we're just looking at the end of our nose with this type of project where we're not really envisioning what could happen, we're going to take, $2 million?
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, we're going to take $2 million and we're going to throw it away.
Of course we're not going to throw it away.
Let me finish.
Sure.
So what I'm saying is your next thing 10 years down the road when the bond is done, we've outgrown that space. So what my point being is, whenever you design something like this, you need to look out to that 20, 30, 40-year plan if you're spending this kind of money. That's my personal belief,
okay.
Not as fire chief, but as Paul Dexter, taxpayer and resident of Samberton. I don't want to put bad money, good money to bad.
So do you think this is bad money?
I don't know. I haven't seen the exact plan.
There are no plans.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I've been very clear about parking issues. And I know I was happy to hear you talk about parking back. But also, in some of the concepts, you're talking about losing possible parking in the current parking space.
Yes, we know.
So it doesn't address. We've all been at meetings here where cars are parked along the street very unsafely. So those are some concerns that I have, that we are looking at this from the point of the money and not looking at the point of it from the needs. That's my personal belief.
Okay. And I just have to say I disagree with you.
Okay.
I mean, we looked at needs. We talked to people about needs. We did not talk to people about wants.
Okay.
We did not talk to people about wants. We asked them what they needed. People felt that the square footages they had were adequate. They felt that the space they were working in had limitations. And so that is why we want to address town office issues as well. That's why we've included trying to do town office issue things, because that is part of the forward-looking thing. Why would we want to touch this building, co-mingle, cohabitate with the police department, if we were going to leave them with space that was inadequate? made no sense to us. And so that's why the proposals have those combined features.
And the fire suppression.
And then we get this building with fire suppression.
Just to put it in perspective, and we talked specifically about the parking issues, because there's only two options that we looked at that solve the parking issue, and that's really if you build a new town hall, town office up on the hill.
Right.
And you get away from this compound, you turn it over completely to police and fire, and you build a new facility up there where you have plenty of room to have parking for the town office. The difference between those options, so if you look at option one, which is the one that we're,
is our
preference, $2.1 million. Option four, to put a standalone up there, at a minimum, is $3.2 million. And if you put the fire suppression in, that we think is a worthwhile investment in protecting that building, now you're up to $3.5 million.
Yeah.
So so there is a balance that we looked at between cost and need, because we know at some point, doesn't matter how many needs you're meeting, if the cost is too high, you're not going to get it through.
And I know you have long believed, because you've said it to me, that you think we could pass something much more than this. You know, the last proposal at 4.999 did not pass. And so I think we took it as part of our responsibility to see what we could do below that threshold. So price was, cost was a factor to us.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. We also did a survey, and I can tell you, people were not interested in much about $2 million. Of the 104 people who answered, you know, it is what we got. Certainly the purpose behind getting the drawings is to begin to put pen to paper and show how it fits. Does it fit? Can we really go west? Does the chief get enough out of it? Do we get enough in terms of the town space? It may be that we don't. But you don't know it based upon the way we've done it, which is simply square footage. You need to see how it works. So we need them to give us permission to spend $100,000.
I think the of the two options, just conceptually, I think doing this site here is a better option for the following reasons. I think be more easier to sell that to the public in terms of understanding what the needs are and what this does to accomplish that. It's expanding and using existing facility, which we have. The cost is unreasonable. I think going forward, I think the things we need to do are we need to reappoint the committee to carry on their work. I think we need to give them the $7,000. And my other question with that, should it be $8,000 instead of $7,000, so you can use the extra money to do some public relations or doing printing or doing education with the community?
You know, why don't we wait and see where we go? Candidly, we asked for the $7,000 because that's the estimate from BPS for the architectural service. If we, you know, we get to November and we are locked down like we were in March, we're not going anywhere. So we don't need to do much. If we are expecting by December, the December tax bills will be a measure of mankind in terms of how people's economic situation is. How people are doing in terms of what's going on. We will see how things are going then. I mean, you will see, not we, they aren't involved. And you may hear folks just like the chief who says, you know, this isn't enough. And guess what we got for you?
So we got more options.
We got more options, you know? And it isn't our call as to what you put forward. We have said that we will support either of these two options. We haven't voted on what we would do with the rest, but candidly, you can ask us later. You know, if that's where the town sentiment goes.
So Dick, what do we need for a motion?
You know,
so if I make one last comment, then I'll shut my mouth.
You're fine.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I want to make it clear that nothing I said can I take anything away from the work you've all done? I absolutely mean that. And when I say, you know, you weren't looking at dollars versus needs, I say that with all the respect in the world, because I know every one of you, okay? And but from the standpoint of, you're right, you know, we're going to see what happens in December. We're going to see what happens to the future. And we don't quite know.
No.
But I also don't want to be here in 10 years I'll be retired.
You won't be here, and, you know, you certainly won't have any conversations with me about this, that's for sure.
And I think, you know, we had those conversations, and we looked at those considerations. And I think at the end of it, there are so many pressing safety and security needs just to protect the police department and the people that go in there, whether it's detainees, residents, or the police themselves, that, getting through this part, getting the police requirements taken care of, addressing at a minimum the access requirements and the quality of life issues here in this building, were worth maybe not, we were avoiding the Taj Mahal syndrome where we could, you know, we put in extra space. That's why option one includes the 500 extra square feet. You know, we look at, if we improve storage, you know, we figured out, Brendan went around and measured.
Right.
If you eliminated the file cabinets, there's an extra 10 by 12 office you could get out of this this building just because of the floor storage. So
all those in my office.
Yeah, we're
right.
It's looking at all of those ways to better use the space.
Right. And I want to say, I mean, I think somebody once said to me, I don't think I've ever seen you vote no at town meeting. I spend money. You've got to remember who I am. I vote yes. I spend money for you very nicely in lots of places.
Yeah.
So if I had my druthers, I voted for Lautier's project because I thought it did so much. But the town didn't. And so we were asked to take it from where it was and do something else. And so this is something else. And the good news about our option, you can go up, you know. In this project, you can step up and get more.
We actually cut 500 square feet out of it. It was originally 4,250.
Right.
And we, you know, again, looking at the, what do we really need?
Right.
We thought, you know, 500 square feet of additional town office space or even police department space, 2,660.
So we're adding 500.
Right.
You know, to the town side. To pick up the space for the displaced, when I first got on the committee 5 years ago, I was charged with looking at what to do about recreation that had been dislocated from the trailers and welfare that had also been down there and records. Those problems are still floating around here.
We're working on the records.
We're
making good progress on that.
But at least we theoretically have gotten them in here. You know, the architect may say, look, for the additional money, we can squeeze and get you another 500 square feet. I'd be thrilled. I really would be thrilled to get more space. But I, you know, it was, speak up.
It was.
It was about money. It's about money, you know?
And trying to be realistic about, you know, where we are in time, where we are having come through the vote in 2019. You know, we know how that went.
Right. And so, you know, if all things were equal, I'd spend $5 million, you know? I spend $5 million easily.
But they're not all equal, so.
They're not all equal.
Well, I guess a lot of people didn't have the same, weren't as intimate with the process, which is our fault for not really doing a very good job at publicizing it. You know, public hearings are what they are, but we didn't do a really good job. I thought, as you did, that it took care of a lot of problems.
It took care of more than they did by a lot. It overdid.
So, you know, I voted for it. But we didn't do a good enough job publicizing that need.
And I do have to say, the challenge going forward, you know, even once you give us the money for the architect, the next question becomes how we are going to be able, with the loss of the reporter for the Echo, with all of the requirements we have to space out and social distance, and how we're going to get people to become engaged in this, is surely going to be a challenge.
Yep.
And these two guys are on our public relations committee, so they'll figure it out.
They are the public, yeah.
But it's, and I don't want to take more time, but it's going to be a challenge as to how to get the word out and to get people to participate.
We would need promotion.
So thank you very much.
Yeah. And also, this is, you know, we're not going to do this, and then 20 years down the road, we'll consider something else. We could, in five, 10 years,
huh?
we could address the.
But so one of the things we did find out, though, through so, you know, we took a lot of the, I'll call them urban myth from the last project,
right.
And we looked at what can we do here. We can go out. What we could actually go up, which we were told last time was impossible.
We
did look at could we expand what's there at the life safety building now, and the answer is we could, but then we lose all the parking on, you know, the police cruiser parking and all that sort of thing. So that, but that gives us room in the future if we needed to. We've got room to expand.
You could go.
When you're not worried about the police parking over there anymore.
Right, you could go.
Yeah, that becomes available.
But it
space,
wasn't.
So.
But it wasn't viable for us to expand for them. And so, okay, somebody asked us, "Did you look at that?" Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We looked at.
I think we were up to eight options with like three sub options.
I know I said I was going to say anything else, but.
Yeah.
Are we going to keep the land up on the hill?
Yeah.
No, nothing's.
Yeah, we're not touching that. I mean, okay. If you choose the option three, A, B, or whatever it is, B, 3B, you're up there. Okay,
right.
So you use that.
Well, what if you decide to do? What if
he's
you decide
up there.
To
or
do
the town office.
Yes.
That's a separate.
10 years from now, it's the Paul Dexter Memorial Fair.
Right.
Memorial means I'm dead.
Or,
don't get me out of that building.
Nothing
to do with that.
So,
can I say something here? I mean, and quite frankly, if in 20 years or 15 years the town has grown that significantly, police department takes over all of this, and you put a town office up there. But in terms of staging, this is a clean construction arrangement. You can pop out that way, move the town pieces over there, Steve and his people stay over there in your rent arrangement until his stuff is ready here, and then he just moves back in. It isn't a whole lot of construction. The phasing of the thing that she was proposed last year was expensive. That was part of the cost, was the staging. You know, and the other thing I have to say about using stuff up there, that's expensive fire suppression because you have to, you got to do this, it's separate.
Yeah.
Did that proposal include the one with building out here? Did that envision fire suppression for this building?
Yes.
And what about next door?
Well, it
didn't include the cost to cross connect,
yes.
But it's designed that it could handle.
It's gonna be located, so it's gonna be
all you gotta do is hang your pipes, your sprinklers, and make the connection.
Yeah. So
maybe, you know, there's a quid pro quo. You give the town office fresh water, they'll give you fire suppression.
But clearly it's important to get this because you have to do fire suppression here because you've got his
detainees.
Not his prisoners, his detainees. They've learned a new word, Steve. So it gets that accomplished here without any question. It just has to be. Where it gets to be more of a conversation, potentially, if there are no people that are required to have the fire suppression.
Yeah.
And we want to do the fire suppression.
What do you want?
So
we want $7,000 from the Capital Reserve Fund for the purpose of design work.
But listening to what you said, the $7,000 doesn't need to come right today.
Yes, it does.
It does?
Absolutely.
So the seven,
we're talking about seeing how things work.
The $7,000 will get us plans at the level of detail that we saw for the 2019 project, where you've got the building layout, you've got all the new
elevation.
Locations,
okay.
And you get the breakdown cost.
Right.
Is that just for the
two options?
Both options.
Just two options.
Option one and option 3A, or 3B, sorry.
And so we're not deciding on an option today.
No, you are not.
We want further information.
And you want to hear from the public. I mean, I think one of the other criticisms, how you do that is unclear to me, but you're going to have public hearings. Maybe a big Zoom meeting or something. I don't know. But if you need to do that, because if you're right, if people want to spend more money, I don't think there's anybody here who would be object to that other than their tax bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's about tax bills.
Yeah.
No. So, anyway, thank you.
All right. So to make Tom happy. I would make a motion that the board approve the expenditure of $7,000 from the Town Building Improvement Planning CRF to create detailed designs for the two design options presented for review and feedback by the public.
I'll second that. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
And then I would also make a motion that we extend the charter, or the whatever we call it. I'm saying charter. Yeah, charter of the Building Construction Committee through 31 December 2021.
Okay, we have.
Wow. We get to vote on it.
Yeah. Excuse me, we're working here. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? You got a job till 2021.
Thanks, and the pay is great.
Yeah.
The pay's not good, but you got a job.
Yeah, that's all the other jobs.
The pay is too much already.
That's right. But thank you so much, many members.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you. Everybody should acknowledge, that this project moves because of Jim Dick, who did so much work on it. So it is I've never worked with anybody before.
I spent about 4 hours going through this as best I could, so.
It's a lot of
in preparation. Oh, yeah.
4 hours left.
Right. I was cross-eyed. My wife wouldn't talk to me right after that thing.
And she's buying your tax bill. You know?
Okay. Moving on, I see Tim Lang has joined us, so let's go back to the election preparations and listen to what Tim has to say.
And you know the way out, can you tell Julie we're starting in here?
Yeah, I'll tell Julie.
Tell the bar chief, we have something to tell you about. So.
Yeah.
Thought you were going to sneak out.
Since we have the chiefs.
Franklin picked up all your stuff the other day, doesn't that count?
No. That was yesterday. What are you doing for today? So I don't know if you guys saw the initial kind of outline I put out. I sent you guys an email on what the initial design and ideas are for going on with COVID concerns in the town that are concerned about how we're going to manage voting and how we're going to manage voting place. The orders put out by the Secretary of State, the Attorney General's office, they've said the moderator sort of, kind of, has the right to create a mandatory mask order, but any liability would be the town's if we do it. So I'm not willing to incur that liability for the town by mandating a mask order and having a voter feel suppressed and then having the argument on the other side. However, due to House Bill 1266, which was signed by the governor, it allowed for an extended absentee ballot process for anybody who has COVID concerns. And allows for same-day voter absentee ballot in-place voter usage. So in other words, I can show up the polls and say, I have COVID concerns, I don't want to go in the building, but I'm willing to vote by absentee ballot. So we hand them all the ballot materials, they fill out all the forms, they put the ballot in the envelope, they hand it to the election worker, who then brings it back inside and puts it to be processed. So there's an alternative to people who are concerned about that there's a potential for unmasked or mask list, depending on how you want to say it, voters within that, or workers inside the polling place, and they don't want to go to an indoor. Also, to deal with some of the COVID concerns, I've created Julie and I walked the space, and we created a one-way in, second way out, so you'll come in, and if you really want to visualize, you walk through the front door to vote, immediately on the right-hand side will be the supervisor of checklist area one for registering new voters. So if there's anybody who hasn't registered and wants to register, they'll be able to step in and go right there, and there'll be line markers on the floor for the 6 feet distancing, but then we push back against the wall. They'll be in there for room for about 3 to 4 people, and after that, we'll have to have people wait outside and call them in if they need to register. As you go straight ahead, where the polling, the ballot clerks usually are, we're pulling them away from the far back wall. They're going to be basically centered right in the middle of the building. And again, we'll have some line markers, and they'll alternate. And so we'll be able to accomplish the, I think we said we're going to break down the two lanes to keep it further apart. And so we keep the people apart this way and create a socially distant line. The only place where that breaks is if you're in the left, you're in the right-hand line to go to the voting booth, you got to go left. So you have to cross over in front of everybody else in front. But
that's the way we do it now.
It is what it is. So on the left-hand side, as you walk in, again, about halfway down, there'll be the entrance to the voting area. We'll have more of those guardrails so we can mark off the area. So you'll go in. Along the normal wall, we have the voting booths. They'll be there. But instead of on the front wall, we'll put the rest of them on the back wall, along with that handicap booth in the back there. And so you'll go into the ballot. Every other booth will be taped off. So we have less booths, but that's never been an issue for us before. So we'll go every other booth. You'll grab your ballot. When you're done, you'll walk towards the back of the building. The voter, where I normally stand, will now be at the back of the building, towards that back door. You'll cast your ballot. The second stage of the supervisor checklist will be there for anybody who wants to go from back to undeclared. We'll be able to visit us. And if that's just going to be a card, you sign your, you put your name on it.
I'm thinking about the mink election. You're talking about primary.
We're talking about primary. So I'm not worried about the November election yet. We'll see where the COVID numbers
are. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get through September. So it'll just be a card they'll fill out. It'll just put their name on it and sign it and say, it says, I want to go back to undeclared. And they'll collect those cards and they'll do it at a later date. That'll just be a purchase.
So they don't have to have somebody hanging around while they go.
Right, they don't have to wait to hang around. Just fill out the card, sign your name, drop the card off and walk away, and then those will be collected by the supervisor checklist and throughout the day, and they'll be putting people back from whatever
they'll call you in.
Outside, we're going to set up a polling place. We need 2 10-by-10 pop-ups, basically, outside. We're going to put them on the back side of where the handicap parking is in the grass area over there. And that'll be for anybody who has concerns about COVID, don't want to go in the building. They'll be able to go over there. They'll say that they want to declare an absentee ballot and vote. And so someone will be there to hand them all the materials. They'll fill out their ballot. They'll seal it up in front of the person, hand it to the poll worker. And then we'll process that at 1 o'clock, and then we'll check the box periodically and process it after like normal ballots.
Okay, so when they get the absentee ballot, they don't have to, those people don't have to check with the checklist to make, that'll all be done once
that's
we process.
Process for the absentee ballot. Okay. So we don't have to have them check in. So originally we talked about having a radio there and having somebody call in and say, you know,
I've got Joe Smith here
and I need to check them off the ballot. And have that, but we realize that especially, you know, as we all know that probably 80% of the voting occurs from 7 to 9 and from 5 to 7. Right, the rest of the afternoon we sit around with people trickling in, right, not much going on. So from 7 to 9, if we have people outside trying to radio in to get to the ballot clerk, that's just not going to work. So if someone's concerned, they can use the provisions of House Bill 1266 and use the absentee mail process outside. We'll set up a table with a couple chairs, people can sit down, fill out their form, sign it all up. And what we'll probably do is take one of the wooden ballot boxes and they can just drop it in a locked ballot box, drop it in there. And then we'll grab all those up. We're going to process absentee ballots at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll get checked off the checklist.
And process from there. We are going to steal 2 parking spaces out front of the church and make them handicap accessible.
Because
we're not really using that space, but I just want to
up on the hill, because they might need some
cones and stuff. Yeah. Just so we can
watch out. Most of our cones are over the transfer station.
Hey, Johnny's got some
porta potty. Yeah.
We have Julie ordered a handicap accessible porta potty for outside. We're going to deem the inside bathroom for the pool workers and people working, so we don't have to deal with, you know, overwhelming issue with that with loaders. And every hour, someone, maybe Julie probably, Probably we'll have to go in and Lysol down each bathroom, just spray disinfectant on everything and walk away. What else did we talk about, Julie?
And you're going to have somebody controlling traffic in the event we have someone who needs to use the handicap entrance to get in?
Yeah, so we're going to put a greeter outside, probably one of you guys.
Somebody's going to be at the door holding people back.
Yep. So there'll be a moderator.
It's going to take more people.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got some volunteers who want to do it. But nobody wants to be in this from 7 to 10.
Again, we're not mandating masks either for election workers or voters. However, we'll have masks available for any election worker that chooses to want to use it and wear it. And I remember they're the K95 masks, so they're the in-and-out masks. So they're not just the, like, those are the out masks, right? It doesn't protect you if you breathe in and suck in COVID, but if you breathe out, it will supposedly be out. Or the regular paper masks are the same thing, right? So, but the supposedly the ones that the state gives are the K95 in-and-out masks, so. Those are any good if you got a beard like me, so it's all relevant.
Yeah,
so,
and they have plexiglass. It's going to take a while to set it up.
So they'll be available. And I meant to ask Julie, but now, did we get any for voters themselves?
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll have masks available for any voter that shows up and give them the option again.
Highway department also, I asked them, Johnny said he'd bring over his big flatbed trailer and load up all the extra benches we're not going to use because we don't want people sitting around.
Right.
The goal is to, and the more space you have, the more people, you know, put space.
It's going to be roped off pretty heavily, so there's no place to sit. Now, the one thing, we do need one bench there for servers, right? So we have to deal with, in case someone shows up wants to be an observer by law, we have to have a place for them to be able to observe the election process.
And there would be on the flatbed, then he's going
to
drive.
It would be nice to have a chair if any of us that were.
Right. So there'll be some areas that are secure just to vote, that are voting.
Yeah.
Non-voter areas, non-public areas, not on chairs, but people are working out particular.
Yeah, people are going to need a break. I think I will take over the gazebo for election workers who want to go out and sit and maybe have their lunch.
Well, that's new, so I have to deal with that because that's our
designated election area.
That's
can't be on the gazebo, though.
Huh?
They can't actually be on the gazebo.
Yeah, we've had
right there the entrance to it.
We've had them on here before. We just don't want them in the walkway. So we earmarked that on that grass area. So
my goal would be to give people a couple hours break so they could leave and come back, go home and have lunch or take a break and then come back. It's going to be a long day.
We just have to have a place for election hearing. I got to allow that. That'd be a constitutional issue if I don't allow.
Yeah, but
For that you might.
Is that a square footage?
Picnic tables by the church.
The only square. Well, I would use that for Julie's choice, not for the election hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for the for the workers.
You know, we created an election hearing spot. It's up at Sabre and Central School. that's not going to work, and that'll get challenged. So I want to make sure
it's
we're not challenged.
I'm just thinking. I think. It's too long to ask somebody to sit there and give people a break to go home for a couple hours.
Again, so maybe we can get a pop-up and put it over on the picnic table.
There's one in the back.
Put it over the picnic table by the church in that little grass area. And then
somebody wants to take a break.
And we'll mark it off for...
The other thing you're going to have to do is somebody's going to have to talk to this crafters fair and tell them...
They've already been told they can't have it the Wednesday before elections, and they can't have it the Wednesday after elections.
Okay.
So that we have plenty.
Actually, very shortly. Next
week.
So the last, whatever.
Next week, last week they can be there then.
And then they need to put the tables and stuff back so you can set it up or get Nate to set it up every
week. Because they probably won't leave Wednesday night. That's a lot to move. But for Thursday, they're out. And that way,
yeah,
we'll have a full week of setup. And we might change it around a little. You never know with the flow.
So the big thing is one way in, one way out. You know, one way process all the way through. We talked about fans in the window, and I was going to talk to, I don't know who, about putting some sort of airflow fans in on the downhill side, so the opposite of the church side. In the
right
windows, so they do open and check at least one of them open. I just want to put a fan, and we're going to leave the doors open.
Yeah,
so that will pull fresh air in and blow whatever is out. It doesn't go across pole workers or anything else.
I have some of those that are like this big.
Yeah.
Something.
Again, we just want something to move air. That we don't want to turn the fans on, because that just circulates bad air within the same building.
Yeah.
So we want to leave the fans off, but we need some airflow coming from outside.
Yeah, we have a couple stand-up fans. We don't have any box fans. And our firefighter fans, you don't want to use.
Yeah. They just stuck all the ballast right off the table and into the.
So again, I didn't know if you had something or what we could use. So
the biggest thing that will help the airflow in that building, when you leave that front door open and you leave the back door open, it becomes this vacuum. It's wonderful. It cools the building right down.
So we just want to make sure we have airflow going out the windows. So
yeah,
we want to go
you can open
in this way and out like that.
We don't want to come to Walmart, BJ's, and pick up a couple box fans.
Yeah,
you could just throw in the window.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we don't need to store that stuff, though. I mean,
well, you might get it at least for November.
Yeah, we may be doing the same thing, doing something in November.
Well, we can go down and buy a couple. I can claim it on COVID?
Well, you know, we're going to, yeah.
Well, I'm keeping a list of things I buy.
Yeah.
I'm giving it
a
trick.
So that was what I had a question for you, was on fans. I mean, when you had something or if we had something.
Yeah, you know.
We got a couple stand-ups.
They will clear the air.
Oh, yeah, they'll
be fine.
Everything else is
available. So do you want just two of them?
Yeah, I think just two. Again, we're not looking to, like, create a giant trap. We just want air movement.
Okay.
We want it to come from through the doors and out, so if we can create any kind of CFM that pushes air out, then it's going to be better than what we have right now.
Okay.
And Tim, I am having, there'll be two of us up there. I'll be primarily inside like usual, and I'll have another officer outside to help out with that. I do have a conference call September 1st with the AG's office. They're doing a law enforcement conference call for dealing with the legal issues that we may have to deal with as far as that goes. So I'll tell you. You probably don't know if you're aware of what they're going to talk about, but
yeah,
I'll you know what.
Yeah, I already have my call in, Edwards.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have a meeting September 1st.
She had one round and round. So I said, you tell me where another RSA 40:4 doesn't moderate the mandated mask, and I'll be happy to do it. I'm like, no, I want the statute that says I have the right to create a new standard that people have to use to vote by. From where I have that authority. I may want to implement a whole bunch of
people.
So they couldn't want anything, and that's why it came down to, if you want to do it, run by your own legal counsel and do it, but we're not taking any responsibility if you choose to, is what the AG's office basically came out and said. And so it was not a fun.
The only question I have is, there's been some challenge that we don't stay open late enough for absentee. Will that cut off at 5 o'clock, the absentee?
Not the outside. The outside will be the whole 12 hours.
It will have to be
the whole 12 hours, right? So the absentee ballot process, the whole 12 hours. If someone wants to, because that we're considering that just a regular polling place for the absentee ballot process, but people who don't want to come to the building, right? So we have to allow them that option, because that's what 1266 did, said, that same day voting by absentee, even in person, right, if you don't want to go in the building.
Well, I'll be here the day before.
Okay.
Before.
I mean, the feedback I've gotten mostly, I mean, I posted up on We Love Samardzija, We Are Samardzija, and We Were Samardzija. I posted on all those pages, and for the most part, the feedback's been positive. I haven't had, a couple of people questions, either, and popped in with a couple of questions, like pens.
Every voter's going to get their own placemat, their own pen, to go into the voting booth. Just take them with them. If they want to drop them, I'll get a can. Drop your pens in, I'll take them.
Just some simple things like that. But all good positive feedback. Nobody was really offended by anything. The biggest question was around poll workers and mandating masks or not mandating masks. And what do we think about
that? I don't think we'll have any. Most poll workers are very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't think you'll see anybody in there without a mask on.
So we'll see how that plays out. Again, I don't want to create fear, and you know, our COVID numbers in New Hampshire are dropping like rocks. We're down there today. I think yesterday's report was 260 cases, down from 392 just 3 weeks ago. You know, so our numbers are dropping. Our hospitalizations are 15, that we're at 22 just 3 weeks ago.
Bike week's coming up.
Yeah, I saw on English Chronicle where the Elliott.
Town clerk of Durham, New Hampshire?
I got some today from the Secretary of State's office. No, yeah, Secretary of State.
You want him to talk to somebody about it?
No, they're dealing with it.
So if you don't know, the whole Republican Party sent out a mailer to register, perhaps. Hold on. So the Republican Party sent out a mailer, and their mailing company in Durham, North Carolina, put Durham, New Hampshire down as the return address for every registered voter in the state of New Hampshire. So the post office of Durham is getting inundated with absentee ballot requests. Through a negotiated agreement with the, and the party did this before, as soon as they realized their mistake on Friday before it was even announced by anybody else, they called the Attorney General's office and said, we need help. You know, we made a huge mistake, we need to, I don't know how we fix this. And so they worked with the Attorney General's office and the post office in Durham. The post office in Durham is collecting all of them and redirecting them back to the Secretary of State's office, then distributing back to the right place. The Republican Party is paying, picking up the cost of all of that process. So it was a goof on their part by their mailer, and we're just paying the price for it. So, but they are being collected in Durham. If anybody returns, and then they look at the address of the person who's returning it, and then
this guy, I think, died in 1996.
Yeah, we don't really have any problems with it.
Yeah, I got one today from the Secretary of State.
So
we got a bunch that came in from people who brought them. We're at 155 for absentee ballots.
So in a normal election cycle for a primary, we have anywhere from 690 to 730 in that range of in a primary, not a general election, but a primary election. That's about what we'll see. We're way over on the vote on the absentee ballots. Absentee ballots on that primary were usually in the 30 range, and we're over 100 now. Still, I don't think we need to do anything special. In the provisions of 1266, they allow for a process where we can pre-process the envelopes, which has its own, it's a mess all in of itself. Basically just allows you, if you don't know how the absentee ballot system works, you fill out your ballot and you put that in one envelope and you sign on that envelope and says, I'm Mary's, Tim Lang, and I put this in there and I put my name and address and all that kind of stuff on it. I put that in one envelope. And then there's an outside envelope that actually is the mailing envelope. And all pre-processing allows you to do is open the outside envelope.
I don't think that's a good idea.
You got to touch it
because then it could fall in.
You might want to start them earlier if there's only two ballot clerks.
So we'll see how we'll probably do that. Under normal provisions under absentee ballot processing, all absentee ballot processing starts at 1:00. The moderator has a choice if there's a significant number of ballots to be processed. Can open it up, but no earlier than 2 hours after the polls open. So I can't start any earlier than 9 a.m., but I can start because we open at 7. So at 9 a.m.
Board of Selectmen.
Gadgets. Can they fix the darn voicemail in their office? Because the voicemail says the old town clerk.
We're going to get new phones. They're supposed to be here. They'll be here. I thought they were going
this week.
To be here
this week.
They were, but apparently they're not. I don't know. So it's all going to be fixed next week.
Did they check Durham? The other thing I'm going to talk about, and we can have this conversation maybe later, but in the budget cycle, but the Secretary of State's office allowed a pilot project for any town that wanted to participate in the e-polling books, which is basically the supervisor checklist plus electronic, like that, to allow, like if we would have the situation, we could have put somebody outside of the polling book with one of our polling books, and they could have just checked people in and done
and then it would all
ballot, and that all the devices sync together. So it would allow for, right now, we have that what they call an alpha sheet, which is just want the master printout of this checklist, then we break it up into rows, right?
Columns,
you can't have multiple, you can't have two sets of L's, right?
Yes.
So that's not, you can't have the same, I can't have a book outside and inside, so I can't stop somebody voting outside and come back inside to voting again, right? Then who's ballot? Mine will get charged with, but the e-polling books would allow for some more flexibility. And so I'm going to try and find out the cost from the Secretary of State's office to consider. We might adopt that as we have a pretty good process here, and I think it'll lend itself to that a lot easier.
What's the status on voting machines? Are they going to approve a new one?
The ballot commission has not met yet on that. The problem is that there has to be some legislative changes in order for the ballot commission to approve a new voting machine, because we require a paper ballot as backup by law, that you have to have a paper ballot. And then there's also an issue of marking of ballots for identification, which is illegal. So I could put, like if I put a checkbox at the corner of mine or put my initials in the corner, and on the new machines, they don't just scan like a Scantron, they actually scan the entire ballot and save it as an image, which means I can go back and find people's votes, depending on what people mark their ballots up for, to prove how I voted on something. And then all of those ballots become 91A issues, those scanned images for availability for right to know, and so it's a lot of issues that become, it becomes a stored record. So there are a lot of issues with some of the new machines, so we have to clean up in election law some of the issues there before we can go to some of the newer machines, which are all, like I said, imaging machines.
So LA Test just went up $50 a year on the machine, mm-hmm. Everybody.
For maintenance.
Yeah, everyone. But they're not going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. So, well, again, there's other Scantron machines like that. They're not the only one.
Uh-huh.
So there are others, ones that do that just fill in the dot and scan like high school without taking images. But the real technology is doing the imaging ones. That's where they're leaning. So mm-hmm. But they can't do that without changes in a lot of laws.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, great idea. You from Florida?
Hey, Trish, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. I just looked over to ask you a question, and the light had gone out, so we don't know how long you guys were offline, but I'm just going to ask you to work with Julie so we can update the front page of the website to put absentee ballots right there on the homepage when people go there. Julie's got all her stuff on the tax collector page, but we just need to update the homepage with a little announcement about, go here to mm-hmm. get all the info on absentee ballots.
I can do that.
Awesome.
Not today.
How long
though,
were we out?
Probably.
Yeah, not today.
I don't know. A couple minutes, maybe five.
Okay. All right. That's good news.
You pop back in for a second and then out again, I think, and then now you're back.
Yeah, I looked over and the phone had hung itself up, so.
I think that means it's time to go.
Yeah.
Get down on that again.
Okay. Thank you, Tim, for coming in and talking to us.
You kept me here for fans.
Huh?
You kept me here for fans.
One more time.
You kept me here for fans?
Yes.
So tomorrow I do have a couple election workers, three of them coming in to help
and you're going to start prepping all the envelopes and getting stuff ready. So when November comes, it's going to be, it'll be a lot easier.
Well, I think we're lucky that we've got the primary with a couple of months of breathing room to, you know, figure out what worked and what didn't and make adjustments before the big one in November, because that is going to be a zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have all the, but it's pre-prepping all the ballots. It takes a long time. Three envelopes.
Yep.
You getting a lot of ballot requests for November?
Well, anybody who requested in September for this one, the most of them checked they wanted November, and we're at 155 right now.
That requests or ballots that you received back?
I have 69 ballots back right now, but the requests are now. So you still have to mail them.
Yeah.
So, but I think November won't. This is tough right now because it's busy, and people want their ballots the second they come to the window. But you're not always prepared and ready to do it. It's, you know, but people are being very nice about it, so. No issues.
All right.
Okay, we through with that then?
Yep.
We will. Trish, I take it we have no old business?
Nope.
Okay, moving on, then we will go to the town administrator's report.
Okay, just need to fire up the computer here. There wasn't too many things. I can tell you that I did speak with the artisan group about the concerns with leaving things out there, and they're going to make it a point to pick up their items. And I told her that, you know, as we are using the old town hall more, we're going to need to make sure that, you know, we know when you're in there, that when you're supposed to be there. Oh, crap. My watch was tracking me. So, I'm sorry. So, they're aware that they need to be picking up after themselves nonetheless.
Okay. And then for, just to follow up with them, after their event next week, the 26th, you know, right after that, probably by Thursday, they need to have their tables put away so that we can set up everything we need to for election.
Yeah, they had all those dates outlined with Nate previously, so they're aware of that as well, the dates that they can't be in there and stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they will not have any artisans group in there on the 2nd or the 9th then?
Correct.
Okay,
the other thing is they did get their insurance as they had said that they would, so they're all set for liability through the rest of their season
December.
Or whatever. Yeah. The other thing is that we had a resignation from the planning board, so that's attached in your town administrator's report from Deborah.
Yep, their house is sold, and they are moving to New York, and they bought a horse farm in New York. So she's going to be able to raise horses again.
Did this happen in time for the planning board to talk about who was going to take over his chair? Or?
Andy Sanborn is going to be moved up from alternate to full-time, and at the next meeting tomorrow night, we will be discussing who's going to take over his chair. Temporarily, until that is done, Don Bormus will become the chair pro tem.
I believe I have an application from Andy to be appointed as a from an alternate to a full-time position. I just didn't have an opportunity to print it off for you guys for today. But he'll have to be sworn in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All And then I'm not sure if the planning board will need to recruit for more members, John, but if they need help doing that, then we can certainly put something out for them.
Okay.
And then the other thing I have is an attachment from Amanda about the fall sports and what to expect from the players and the spectators and stuff like that that she's handing out to parents.
Yep. And I found out at the last recreation meeting that Sanborn Central is Sanborn Central is going to be splitting their classes, and half of the class will go to school on Monday and Tuesday from 8:30 to 12:30, and the other half of the classes will be going to class on Thursday and Friday from 8:30 to 12:30, with Wednesday being a day set aside to sanitize and clean the school.
It's pretty standard. A lot of it for you know, the hybrid model that a lot of the schools are taking on. So at least to start the year.
Yep. Okay, and that's about all I had. We have like the Atlantic Broadband people in there. Supposedly they're doing work this week.
That may have been the part where you were cut off. Julie said they haven't seen any sign of them.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So you got that going for you, which is nice. Probably now is a good time to bring up unanticipated funds. So we have the opportunity to get money from two different sources. There's GOPR, the Government Office for Economic Recovery and Relief funding that comes from the governor, and then there's also CARES Act funding that's specifically for the cost of absentee voting. And for both of those, we need to vote to accept those unanticipated funds and provide that as part of the certification for our application. So the CARES Act stuff, the application is due, I think, was it 27th next week, and then we'll get our submission for the GOPR, which will cover everything since March through September, by the 15th of September, which is the cutoff for that. And that's the one that's going to include, we can claim the salaries for first responders, police and fire department, as acceptable costs. So we will get, I'm pretty confident, I haven't done the numbers, but we should get pretty much all of the money that's been set aside for us, which is almost $71,000. And then the CARES, the voting money, once they figure out what the reimbursement rate's going to be, basically they will report how many absentee ballots we processed. They compare that to how many we did in 2016, and then they pay us whatever the rate is per ballot to offset the cost for handling and postage and all that. So I'm going to, first one, I'll make a motion that we accept CARES Act funding in the amount of $8,453 under the provisions of RSA 31:95-B to offset expenses associated with absentee voting and to designate the town administrator to sign on the town's behalf.
I'll second that. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
And then I'll also make a motion to accept the Governor's Office for Economic Recovery and Relief funding in the amount of $70,924 under the provisions of RSA 21-P:43 to offset expenses associated with COVID-19 and designate the town administrator to sign on the town's behalf.
I'll second that. Any discussion of the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Motion passes.
All right. So that should, other than submitting the paperwork, that should give us everything we need for those two. So.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Select board reports. The Recreation Commission is still going to try and, or still planning to try and put on the trunk or treat, which will be, this year will be in the field behind the old, the church and the old town hall. The plan is to have people line their cars up around the perimeter of that, and then the kids come in one way, go around the circle, and then go back out to have people park in the school parking lot and come across that path. This way it'll keep it in the outdoors and keep it as safe as possible. There won't be any kids or parents loitering around in the middle. They're to walk around the circle of cars and then go right out. The planning board met, and of course we took Deborah's resignation, which we've already talked about, and we had a conceptual for a level 2 home occupation, and we had another hearing on a solar project, which actually went, I think it was 11.5 kilowatts, which was over our 10 for the actual thing, and that was approved. And that's pretty much all I've got.
All right. Well, so you've seen what we've been doing with the building construction committee. So, as Nina discussed, the plan there is to work with the board to figure out how we want to reach out and engage people on the different designs, and you know, really try to get a lot more feedback than we were able to get last time with a single public hearing. So
I think what would be good is if we were to schedule at least 2 or maybe 3 public hearings between shortly and the time we have to put the warrant article together, and try and get as much information out to the people as possible, and let everybody know, use We Love Samberton, We Hate Samberton, whatever websites are out there, to let people know that we are holding the public hearing to get comments and educate the public.
Yeah, so I think what, by getting the report done now the committee's going to turn its focus to help try to lay out that plan, what it looks like, how many public hearings, how many open houses, to try to get people to come back in and look at the existing facilities. So that'll be the focus, is to kind of put that plan together, then come back and see if that's what we're looking for. Conservation Commission met last week, had a discussion with a property owner that's interested in a conservation easement. It's a pretty good-sized property, 25 acres off of Perkins Road. So she's very interested in protecting the property and keeping it from being developed. So it was a perfect fit. So first time the commission's dealt with one in I guess about 10 years, and that one was a very complicated process. So they're doing some more research, answering. She had several questions, so get some information for her and help answer those questions, and hopefully get that in motion. So that'd be, and it kind of helps create almost a corridor along the backside of along Perkins Road and down that way around Parsonage Brook that is protected, because there are several other easements that will all kind of tie up together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work still going on also with the town trails. They've been working very closely with Steel Hill to get the networks of trails merged together. So right now we have our trails through the town forest, and Steel Hill has their trails that go through their property. Well, you can see some of them, you know, when you're standing on a town trail. And so they're very agreeable to tying those trails together. So you can go off the green trail in the Samberton Forest and go onto the red trail and continue on. So more work to continue on that, but it's good. It's going to open up, get more people to come down from the resort and enjoy the town,
yep,
and get more of our folks up there. So, and then we're moving out with the budget process. Took the results from the meeting we had, provided that guidance to the department heads. Ray was able to finish up the budget form, and we have that out to the department heads now, so they're all having a chance to start working with it, filling it out. So far, you know, we've got very good feedback. They're happy with the form, and it seems to be making their lives easier, which is good. So we'll be, so it'll be a couple of weeks now, September 9th, the day after elections, mm-hmm, we'll have the first review with the major departments. So in the meantime, we'll Ray and provide any tech support they need, get those things finished up. So I think that's it.
Well, I got her to phone me.
I think it was somebody online.
Somebody online, yeah. Tom, you got anything?
Somebody?
No.
No, the only thing I had is I thought it was interesting, the meeting we had with the budget committee. I don't know whether I was disappointed or not, but I think that my feeling, most of the discussion took place around the cost of living increase and the merit increase. And when I look at that, I think that, like, you folks and the member of the budget committee, you've got an awful lot of work on the matrix to kind of get it to where it should be. And I think that, I think we were set on a course to look at both the cost of living increase and also a merit increase with our employees. And I think going forward to try to do a U-turn is not a good policy decision from my viewpoint. I think we made the effort, not we, but the folks that worked on it did a yeoman's job in terms of putting it all together. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think the merit increase along with the COLA increase, I think, is a good thing. And I think to change it in midstream is not good for good public policy or morale of employees. So I think we ought to strongly consider, the plan as was originally proposed going forward. Seriously consider it. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And I understand what you're saying. I think, and I agree, that's not a normal way of doing business. I think in this environment right now with so many uncertainties that, leaving that as an option that we can put in if everything else in the budget, everything else in the revenue looks good, I'm okay with that. And I like the fact that people were offering ideas of, maybe we do a half step instead of a whole step, so that it's something that we can still do something, maybe not as much as we want to, but what makes
right.
sense
I,
from a...
I agree with that. I think I would agree with your point, not to eliminate it maybe entirely.
To me, it was very clearly, once we get the budget and once we see how revenues are,
yeah,
everybody's willing to come back and revisit okay. that. And
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Yeah. All right.
I guess we had a wedding here in the town office last week.
We had a wedding last week, yeah.
I was looking to see something in the paper with a picture.
I don't know. I guess when you're 94 years old, you don't wait. All right, Trish, I've got all the signature files here. I've got one from Terry.
Okay.
And then a couple from Karen, and then the regular payroll stuff.
Yep.
So we can
sign away.
Yep. One for the ambulance fund. Another for the police special detail. A big one. Started on some signing.
Okay.
Ambulance fund and police special details. This is a request from the assessor for an abatement on map 17, lot 43. They had the assessors go back in and had to make some adjustments based on actual inspection of the property and seeing the interior wasn't what matched, didn't match the tax card. So they're requesting we approve an abatement in the amount of $2,244.45. Okay, yeah. I make a motion we approve the abatement for tax map 17, lot 43, in the amount of $2,244.45.
I'll second that. Any discussion of the hearing? None. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining?
The printer is printing on its own. And then there's payroll and checks. Thank you.
Okay, we are signing a check for $8,221.26 to Pike Industries. We are signing a check for $14,598.90 to Casella Waste Systems. We are signing a check for $38,923.61 to the Franklin Savings Bank. We are signing a check for $16,175.97 to Key Government Financial. Careful, this one doesn't have a... Did we have two sets of minutes to approve?
No.
I didn't print them out. I'm sorry.
So there's only one, right?
There's only one here, yeah. But it says on the agenda approval of the 8/5/2020 regular and non-public meeting minutes. Are they all combined into one?
They are. Was that 8/5? They are all combined into one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see it now.
They're not separated out. Yeah.
Okay.
But I will have, I wasn't sure how to work the budget committee meeting minutes and if they were going to be the Board of Selectmen minutes or budget committee meeting minutes. Audrey sent them, so they will need to be approved at some point from somebody.
Okay.
The joint.
Yeah. We can do it as a Board of Selectmen's meeting.
Okay.
I make a motion that we approve the Samerton Board of Selectmen minutes for August 5th, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second.
I take it all the corrections are included in the draft we have.
There, and there was just a couple of. There were just a couple of corrections in that version.
Okay.
Send in.
I'll make them and have them ready to be signed for when I get back.
I've got it printed out.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. The next board meeting will be September 2nd, 2020 at 5 p.m. here in the town offices. And I just need one more motion.
Oh,
from the moral minority.
Moral minority, one, the majority of two. That's a motion that we adjourn till September
2nd
at 5 o'clock.
I will second.
Non-debatable motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? We are in adjournment at 7:34.
Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Fun.
See you guys.
I hope you're having fun, okay. Trish.
We are. We're having a good time.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.